This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And, Tuesday. Here we go. Going through the week.
It's like a lucky 20th. It's a lucky number kind of day.
Isn't it? Is it a Bi-Mart lucky number kind of day?
I think it is. I think it's a lucky number kind of Tuesday.
I like it. And I just hearing our professional voice talking about if you missed Warren's news. If you missed this show live, we are everywhere. We are on Spotify, iHeart, Apple iTunes, Spreaker. What other ones are there? There's so many.
I don't know. You can Google us and you can find us just about anywhere now because we are going to be in your face.
I know. We're everywhere. But for me, it's Spotify. I have a Spotify account because I love my mixes, my minor chord mixes when I'm feeling melancholy and blue after looking at politics in the United States of America. I need some melancholy. But anyway, we were out there. And also, if you ever want to reach out to us, get in touch with us, newsmakers at kykn.com is our email. Shoot us a message. And if you know me personally, you know my text. And so you can text me too. Mm-hmm. But I don't give that out over the air because that's probably a bad idea.
You might get blown up.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, today is Take a Walk Outdoors Day. And given this weird winter that we're having, you could probably do it without a coat.
Well, right now, yeah. I wouldn't recommend doing it, it's 7, 8 in the morning when it's freezing, freezing cold. But this time of day when the sun's out shining, especially if you can pick a path where you don't have to go into a shaded area, it's really, really nice out.
It is so weird. This winter has been so weird. And so I really feel like February and March are just sitting here going, just wait, my pretty.
I think I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, I suspect that, when the rains finally do come, it'll go till like June.
Yeah, I know, right? And it'll be freezing because it is a little concerning with the lack of snow up in the mountains. And I guess the mountains are kind of getting it, but snowpack and drought. Anyway, I guess we'll cross that bridge. Today's also Penguin Awareness Day. I love that. I love penguins. They're adorable. They stink, but they're adorable.
I'm very aware that they're not around here. So,
you got to go to the zoo. Of course, I always like, I don't remember. Is it Looney Tunes? Remember little Chili Willy who would cry the ice cube tears? So cute. All right. Well, it also is National Cheese Lovers Day, which is a day I celebrate. And to me, Cheese Lovers Day is every day.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think cheese is a staple of our diets around my house right now. Ironically, I have one kid that just, for some reason, doesn't like to eat cheese.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's a weird one. I don't even know.
Wow. That's like people who don't like chocolate. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. I just can't relate.
Oh, she likes her chocolate. It's just reason. So I don't know what it is about.
She's not hopeless.
No. And the thing is if you sneak the cheese in, she doesn't even really realize she's eating it. It's when it's in her face. And all of a sudden, I don't know.
Well, she'll probably grow out of that because, my gosh, cheese is the food of the gods. It's also National Coffee Break Day, which I think we all celebrate, especially on these dark, when it's still dark when you wake up. It's like, where's my coffee?
When in those freezing cold mornings, it's nice to have a hot cup of coffee in your hands to warm you up after you scrape your windows clean.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I like mine with a little homemade chocolate sauce and half, and that's my way because I stopped using the petrochemical creamers. Once you read the labels on those, it's like, no, ew.
When you leave the coffee cup sitting around and it's rock solid, you kind of
or it has a big oil slick on it that would probably light on fire if you smoked around it. a lot of stuff happened on this day in history, obviously. Well, it has been a year since President Trump was inaugurated for the second time, which is okay. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama, Jimmy Carter. It's like my list of this day in history. It's like, it's Inauguration Day, the 20th of January.
Well, okay. In 1945, FDR got it for the fourth time, so...
Hence why we don't have presidents who can run more than two terms now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Also, this was interesting. In 1982, Ozzy Osbourne secured his place in history by biting the head off a bat, and he tossed it on stage when somebody had tossed it on stage in Des Moines, Iowa. And then remember the one, I don't remember who it was, Alice Cooper, somebody remember, I don't know if it was a myth or not, about biting the head off the chicken. Somebody tossed a chicken up on stage.
Yeah,
is that
I don't
Alice
know.
Cooper?
Well,
who is a Christian? He's past all that now. But.
Yeah, when you realize that, I think Ozzy even said that, you know, he didn't realize it was actually a live bat at the time he did it. He thought it was a kind of a
toy.
Prop, a toy, like a plastic bat, and he was going, you know. So, the irony of crazy things that go on in the spur of the moment.
I never did see an Ozzy concert or Black Sabbath or anything like that. I wasn't necessarily a dark metal head back in the day. Also on this day, this is interesting, in 1920, the 50-50 Club opened. That was the first speakeasy. Mm-hmm. Remember when all those nosy progressive women decided that alcohol was bad and none of y'all should have it? How did that work out?
Those were the early awfuls, weren't they?
The early awfuls, exactly.
Yeah, no, you know, it just didn't quite go that way. And realistically, now we have swung so far in the other direction that the awfuls, you know, think that everybody should be high as a kite and all drugs should be legal. So, what
well,
a strange
thank the
swing.
For, for Al Capone and organized crime. So thanks, ladies. Thanks
well,
a lot.
Weren't the awfuls just pretty much organized crime without the money? Aren't they still are? Come on.
Oh, they're terrible. Yeah, that video. I think Ted Nugent posted that video of that. I'm like, lady, we can't say it on the air because we're on terrestrial airwaves. We don't get to That's have right. as much freedom as our podcasting brethren.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Sometimes you wish you did, but at the same time, I'm kind of going, we need somewhere that there's still some standards, right?
I agree. Okay, so I was doing show prep and I'm looking at all kinds of stuff. And obviously, we talked yesterday about kind of, you know, the people that aren't. Was that yesterday or was that last week? I never remember. About there's ignorance. And again, I use ignorance not as a derogatory term. It's just that a lot of Republicans don't seem to know that we have a primary that will determine who the Republican nominee to run for governor in Oregon or Idaho or Washington or whatever state. There's always a primary. And a lot of people don't, because I keep seeing, oh, you're going to split the vote, because we had a couple of people jump in. I think yesterday, David Medina, a podcaster and YouTuber, jumped in, and, you know, a lot of people, oh, you're going to split the vote. No, he's not.
Well,
he's not going to split the vote. He's in a primary. He's got to get through a primary.
And see, I don't know if it's ultimately, I mean, like you said, is we're seeing a lot of this online. I'm not talking to people in my day-to-day life that don't realize there's a primary coming up.
Yeah.
So how much
right.
is the internet real life? And how much is it maybe staged in this and that? If you remember 4 years ago, the messaging that came out of mainstream media was there's 19 Republicans running. It's so watered down. Who are you going to choose? There's 19 of them and only two Democrats. But reality was there was 17 Democrats running. The media just ignored 15 of them.
Right, exactly. And it's funny, you frame it that way where the media wants to confuse the Republican side and look like there's so many. So I did first of all, and I don't know, this is me guessing, because I follow Representative Ed Deal out on X, and there was a tweet out there yesterday, and I see a lot of people going, let's go, there's a big announcement coming tomorrow. My hunch, and again, I have no idea, is that he's going to toss his hat in the ring for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well, the only other thing I could possibly imagine would be confirming that we will be voting on the gas tax come November, because I believe that constitutionally they can't revoke it in the you know, big castle downtown.
Yeah, but we don't need him to officially say that, because
exactly.
That's kind of out there in the in the X sphere.
So yeah, so I think the rumors are probably leaning in the right direction. That would be my guess as well. But yeah, I can't think of anything else, you know, minus something really crazy going on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people. Of course, Rep Deal is a friend of the show. We have him on quite often to talk about the things he's been doing. He's got a crack, great crack in a good way, like. They're a great team, not crack fan crack, communications team. And he's made a lot of national news, getting a lot of attention on the insanity that is Oregon. So it'll be interesting to see he's going to make that announcement tomorrow. But I decided, because a lot of people are saying, well, there's so many candidates, it's all watered down. Well, I asked my friend ChatGPT to search the web for me, to scour the web and let me know who are the Republicans and the Democrats who are officially running, who is officially filed. And I got 4 and 4.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting here going in the social media landscape. I would believe that there would be 3 on the Republican side, you know, with more names to come, and then only 1 on the Democrat side.
Right. So no. So on the Republican side, obviously, we have Christine Drazen and Danielle Bethel. Mm-hmm. They have both in it. Danielle was the first, I believe, to come on. We had her on last week to talk about what's going on with her. A gentleman named Kyle Duyck? I don't know how to pronounce it. D-W. Sorry, Kyle. He's also filed. And then, of course, yesterday, conservative commentator and media personality David Medina. He has filed. On the Democrat side, obviously, Tina Kotek.
Mm-hmm.
And then... oh, gosh, come on, Oregon. Somebody named James Atkinson IV has filed. David Beam, who we know he's a local activist in the Salem area, he is listed as filing. And then somebody named Brittany Jones, who is a political activist and nonprofit founder, who has filed as a Democrat candidate. So that's according to ChatGPT. And again, there's always that caveat. They do make mistakes. Mm. Maybe he or she, whatever, it missed something.
Well, I always guess with the, especially those last couple of names, the political activist mentality, they're probably farther left than even Tina Kotek is.
Is that possible?
Yes. No. Yeah. Well, you know, publicly, I'll put it that way. Publicly, in her private life, I'm guessing Tina Kotek is as radical can be.
Yeah.
But publicly, they are. I mean, it's similar to what we've seen over the last couple of elections in mayorships in New York and in like Seattle, where you have the Democrat candidate and then you have the far left socialist candidate, and they both won. And I don't think that's going to happen statewide here in Oregon, but
one never knows, does one. All right, we're running a little long. Let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Okay. Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Color Tile of Salem.
All right, so it has been a year. It's hard. What a year it's been. It's been a year since President Trump was inaugurated as the 47th president of the United States. You and I both voted for him, and I think both of us are pretty okay with how things are going. Got some issues on some things, but overall, good to go.
Yeah,
I'm good.
On the Trump side of things, I just sit here and I go, virtually the reason we voted for him are the things he is doing in office. In terms of his support team, aka Congress, I have a lot of issues because they could be doing a whole lot more.
Pam Bondi.
Yeah, and you know,
girl,
but like
make some arrests, girl.
Well, it's like we said yesterday. You know, talking about what's going on in Minnesota. As Republicans, we're allowed to like certain things and dislike certain things that our politicians are doing.
Yeah, we're not of the hive mind like the Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I come down. It's like, yes, the things overall in general are happening the way I would want them to. Maybe there's some better ways to go about it. Maybe there's better communication. Maybe there's more accountability we could hold. But, you know, it is what
it is. Yeah, the personality thing, way back in the day, I mean, it's been 10 years since the first, obviously 2016, which still blows my mind, when I wasn't really a fan. I don't like him. Being an East Coast girl, having a lot of my family from New York and New Jersey, I knew many people. I'm like, You know, now I'm kind of like, he's kind of grown on me. I kind of like it. I laugh out loud when we'll watch it. The mustache and I will watch a press conference, and except when he starts droning on, and I'll turn it off. But he does. He makes me laugh. I kind of like the... this is just what it is. If you don't like it, lump it, frankly. And I'm good with that now. I'm good with that.
Well, it's the things, you know, his response to some things can be a little juvenile, a little childish, a little self-serving. And okay,
the Rob Reiner thing was like,
And you gotta sit there and go, okay, but overall, it's the big picture. It's not this, that, today, tomorrow. It's the big picture.
And I'm not going to have a beer with, well, he doesn't drink. I'm not going to have coffee with him. He's not my best friend. We're not going to hang out in Sag Harbor or in the Hamptons or anything. So aside from all that personality stuff, the number one thing that he's done, he's closed the border. Mm-hmm. He promised that. And nationwide crossings remain at 92% lower than the peak under the Biden regime. So yay, that's awesome.
Yeah, he tried to do it his first time around, didn't get much help, and then Biden undid everything he possibly could. So, you know, it isn't bad policy. These were intentional decisions by the Biden administration. And the Trump administration came in heavy-handed and said, no, this needs to stop immediately, and has done a wonderful job of stopping it.
Yeah, yeah. So the second thing, of course, he's done, and of course we're seeing this in the news, is awfuls and others are losing their minds over this, but he is deporting illegal aliens, and starting with the criminal illegal aliens. This article, again, this is from our friend John Hawkins. Given how many illegal Democrats have already let into our country, shutting down the border was only half the game. We have to deport them. And so Homeland Security, this was as of, I think, in December, over 2.5 million illegals have left. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of self-deportation going on.
Yeah. When they realize that the handouts aren't worth the trouble that comes with them, yeah, they're packing up and heading back home. So yeah,
and no, you take your family with you. You know, I mean that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm.
At number three, of course, he's cutting the size of government. DOGE started it, and mm-hmm. of course, there was a whole lot of pushback on that one. But our government needs to keep being cut down from every level, from federally to the state to local.
Yeah, yeah. So that hopefully will continue as well. This one, oh my gosh, fighting the trans social contagion. One of the worst things liberals have done in recent decades is to relentlessly push as many confused, mentally ill possible into becoming trans. Mm-hmm. This you're seeing all over the place. I mean, you're seeing a lot of people regretting that, detransitioners. You're still seeing it in some places where it's being pushed in schools, but it seems like it's like the national insanity of boys should be in girls' sports seems to be backing up. I don't want to say that the woke insanity is over, because mm-hmm. it isn't.
No.
And that all ties back to sort of feminization and the awfuls, and there's a whole big broad yeah. bunch of junk behind that.
Well,
but
this,
overall.
Yeah, he's shut it down at the national level. It's still a problem in blue cities, blue areas that want to push this. I mean, a week ago we saw these hearings where, you know, a doctor, someone who knows science, couldn't even answer a question for 5 minutes.
That's insane.
About boys getting pregnant. So I don't know.
But yet they scream and yell that they want a woman president. Okay, mm-hmm. what is that? What yeah. is it that you want?
All right, number five, he's been going to war against DEI.
Yay!
And kind of shutting that down. And again, this is something that at the national level has been very well eradicated to a certain extent. So now it's bringing it down to the local levels and making a, you know, the basis of things more on your qualifications than the color of your skin or your sexuality.
Yeah, yeah, which is as it should be. Number six is the right mixture of peace and violence. And so obviously we talk about setting back Iran's nuclear program, getting Maduro, an illegitimate narco-terrorist, out of power in Venezuela. And regardless of what some folks on the left may want to tell you, that these are fake videos and all this stuff is all fake, yeah, it's not. Mm-hmm. So you keep up with that, because some people are just so hard stove in on their narrative that nothing will ever change them. But this is actually a good thing.
Yep.
Peace through strength.
Yep. Number seven is crime reduction. And this one, again, it's, you know, it is such a local issue, but it's also, we've seen what he did in D.C., and as much as the news wants to tell us that it's a bad thing and, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors, that the feds going in and securing Washington, D.C. means nothing. Talk to the people that actually live there, work there, and spend their time there, and they see the difference in the safety levels.
We've our friend James Masnoff, who is over there, who lives in Virginia and is in D.C. a lot. I mean, can speak to his personal experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take James's word over that is actually what's happening. And that's a good thing. But you can't, the left just can't, it's like this TDS or whatever, can't objectively look at anything and just, because it's all about emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's they see Trump doing it, it's a bad thing. They see anyone with a D behind their name doing something similar, and it's a good thing. And why would they want violence and crime and all these other issues to be happening? Well, to stir the chaos and get people to look for someone that can rescue them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can imagine, because anyone that's a proper leader that cares about the citizens in their area doesn't want crime, whether it's petty crime or violent crime or anything else.
Which is why it's so crazy to see what's happening in Minnesota and Minneapolis right now, where you've got all these leftists out there defending, and especially the women, you know, obviously we've talked about, you know, sort of the psychological whys behind that. Not psychologists, but, you know, we read and we do some research. Actually, out there, there was that ICE, the video of the ICE agent saying, "We're trying to arrest a child sex predator. And all y'all are out here defending this guy." Mm-hmm. Insane.
Yeah.
Truth.
And you literally, in the background of that video, you hear somebody wandering, going, "Don't believe them. Don't believe them." It's like, so that's what you would prefer. You would prefer to take your chance that there is a child sex offender in your neighborhood who is actively going after children than take the word of an ICE agent who's actually going after that person?
And based on the accent, he sounded Hispanic. I mean, well, he wasn't a white guy.
Well, color doesn't matter when you're talking about the evil ICE agents.
I thought it mattered to them.
It only matters if they're on your side. I mean, if you go anywhere and you can find the videos of people that don't agree with them being talked down to, no matter their nationality.
Well, it's getting real crazy over there. And honestly, I know you and I have talked about this. Something needs to be done. There needs to kind of be a bit of a hammer dropped on this, because now you've got people who are, "Oh, he looks like he's ICE. Let's mob them." You had four bros trying to have, you know, tech bros trying to have lunch in a restaurant. Another video of some creepy little monster getting in some guy's face because, well, he was white.
Well,
and so you're seeing this ramp up as well. And this is dangerous because they're going to get the wrong guy on this one time and it's going to pop off.
Well, and like we said, it's not just being kept in Minnesota now. It is spreading.
Right.
News this morning, of course, waking up, somebody shot two Portland police officers during the night
and is still
on
large,
the still on the loose. And I sit there and go, what are the odds that seeing something like this in Minnesota can lead to this behavior? Anything else where
pretty high?
Yeah, I'm kind of going, it's a trickle across the country. When you allow these things to happen in one city, it's going to happen in another.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing increased calls for people to sit there and take action, get arrest, consequences. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Tuesday. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about music, because with all the stuff going on in the world and the weird weather and everything else, music will soothe you. And we want to welcome to the show, she hasn't been on in a while, master director for the Oregon Spirit Chorus, Kathy Scheel, to tell us about an upcoming event. Kathy, so nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
You too. Thank you for letting me come in, talk about
absolutely
this stuff.
So normally we'd be promoting some different concerts and things like that, but you're kind of mixing it up a little bit this year.
Yeah. Well, we like to have at the beginning of the year, when people are kind of making New Year's resolutions, it's fun to go, you know what? If you've been wanting to sing, we've got it. So we have an event called Harmony Happens Here.
And
it's,
ooh.
Yeah, and it's next Tuesday night, January 27th. And Oregon Spirit Chorus is hosting it. And so far we have about 15 guests lined up, and we'd love to have over 20 guests or more.
Mm-hmm. So what can a guest, if somebody wants to be a guest, what can they expect?
Well, first of all, it would be great to send an email to director@oregonspirit.org. But what they'll get is an evening of, they get to learn a song in four-part a cappella harmony with fabulous singers. We've got about 62 singers aged 20s to 80s, all ages, all skill levels. And what we do is we teach. We have learning tracks to help them learn the part. They'll go into sectional. They'll learn a song in fabulous four-part a cappella harmony. They will meet some amazing women of, like I say, from all walks of life and all ages. And they're just the most delightful, genuine, warm, wonderful women I've ever worked with in my career in Sweet Adelines International. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have some refreshments, but they will gain musical skills. We'll have a vocal skill building session. They will gain friendships for life, if they choose. You know, it's just it's a win-win. And like you say, singing is extremely healthy. Mm-hmm. It's so good for the soul, and we all need some really positive things in our lives. No matter what's happening around us, singing makes us feel good.
Right? Yes. People sing in the shower. People sing to release stress. I know. And when I'm driving, I'll sit there and I'll like sing, I don't know, Journey or something. Yeah. I mean, no matter what ABBA. It is. And you exactly.
We have an ABBA song. Yeah.
Do
take
you?
A chance. Which one? Take a chance. Take a chance. Take oh. a take a chance. Chance. Yeah, it's fun.
Kathy, that's so perfect.
But they'll learn a beautiful song called "It's My Song," and it's got the lyrics just talk about why we sing and the connection you feel when you sing in harmony with other voices, other people.
So this is going to be kind of like, hey, I've been thinking about it. I've been, you know, I have a good voice, or maybe I have a voice that could be better, and I want to go in here.
Yeah.
And so is this kind of, are you kind of looking around for people that's like, ooh, she's good. We need to maybe recruit her, or what are we looking at?
Yeah. I mean, people who have not sung, I think probably the vast majority of our members were people who used to sing in high school or college or church choir, or have done musicals and stuff like that. And they've missed it. You know, they started raising a family, had a career, and they've missed singing. It's like, then come here, because it's unlike any other experience to blend your voices with others. It's and like you say, with these, the education is huge. In our chorus, we always start off with dancing, actually, and then we immediately go into our skill building section, and then sectionals, and a lot of things are happening throughout the evening. But there's always time for socializing and getting to know the other women. We have members from. Three come from Corvallis. About 20 plus people come from the Portland area. One's north of Vancouver, one's out in Carson, which is like an hour and a half drive, and all over the community. It's pretty awesome. Like I say, we got 62 current active members.
Yeah, and you perform statewide. I know you go. Mm-hmm. You've gone to nationals in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So somebody would need to be prepared to perform, to actually perform in public.
Yeah, we help them become prepared. We have a gig actually happening down in Sublimity on February 1st for Marion County, or Marion Estates down there. And it's just fun to go out and share our music with people. But then our regional competition is on May 15 through 17 in Reno, Nevada. And we've done very well in the past. I'm very proud of our competitive nature that we, out of the 20 years we've been together, we've been competing 18 of those years. And the vast majority of those times we've come in first in our division. And so we've got a goal this year. I'm going to say this out loud. We've got a goal this year of scoring high enough to qualify to go to the international competition in Seattle, Washington. So we'll take a train up. It's going to be fun. So that's our goal. And that happens in May in Reno.
Okay.
So we're all working towards that.
The performing part is fun. It's not like you're necessarily having to be a solo out there. You've got all your gals behind you and with you. Right. And that competition thing, it's so funny because I'm one of those, back in high school, back in the day, symphonic choir and all that, going to compete for best in the Northwest. Yeah. And I remember the year I was in there, we won it. And you don't forget that, and you don't age out of that.
That's right. It's in your nature. And we really don't look for solo singers. We're looking for people who work well with others. Teamwork is definitely a big part of it. Of our repertoire, there are a few songs where we have featured singers. But for the most part, it's if you can hold your part, and we'll teach you how to do that, you are absolutely welcome to come and visit. And if it's not for you right now, then come, you know, like if Tuesday the 27th doesn't work for you, come any Tuesday night. We have guests pretty much every week, and we love that. Yeah.
Okay, so you rehearse every week then?
Yes, throughout the year. Well, it gets a little weird in summer when people are taking vacations. But and then in December, I'll be back here again probably to tell people about the annual Christmas chorus. But yeah, this is exciting time of year when we can grow the chorus and then go into contest with that new energy that comes from new people. It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
And again, you've got down to very, very young all the way up into more golden gals going in there, or a silver gal.
Silver, yes. Yes.
It's not
great.
You'd
be amazed.
It's silver.
Our oldest person member right now is 86, and you would never know it.
God bless her.
Physically.
How's she for you? I was just going to say, because even, you know, for the younger, breath control and all of that can be tough.
But when you learn it, it's a skill for life. It's not like, you know, I mean, if you use it and continue to use it, it's going to stay there for you when you need it. And we do choreography. We do all of our music is memorized. And we don't just stand there like, you know, some ensembles just stand there and read music and stuff. Mm-hmm. But no, we move around. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of showmanship, and these, no matter what the age. And what's really cool is when you see, like just recently, we had a gal, 14 years old, standing next to our oldest lady, 86 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was like there was no age difference at all. The two of them were giggling and laughing and just acting like a bunch of teenagers. And that's what happens when you get women together. It's fun.
And I like that you've got the different age groups in there, because each can learn from a little something from the other one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Kathy, if people are interested and they want to do this, what's your website?
It is www.oregonspirit.org. One word, oregonspirit.org. Okay. And if they'd like to come to the guest night or anytime, an email to director@oregonspirit.org.
Okay. And then for everybody who's driving, I will put that in show notes. And we typically get our podcasts up in about an hour. And again, awesome. Like I said at the top of the show, you can find them on all streaming sites. So if you miss that, Kathy, anything else you want to let us know before we cut you loose?
I can't think of anything. I feel like I talked way fast, but it's exciting. When I
always get that too. People tell me I do that as well.
I thought you were about my chorus and I just go like,
Well, you can definitely tell that you love it and that you have a real passion for it. And I think that's got to just be something that exudes to everybody else in the group. I love that.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, this month, January, I'm celebrating my 55th year in Sweet Adeline's International.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm officially old and I love it.
I love it. That's wonderful. Congratulations. Well, again, we've been talking with Master Director from the Oregon Spirit Chorus, Kathy Scheel, OregonSpiritChorus.org. And again, I'll have all that in show notes. Kathy, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And
thank
we'll see you the next time you got something going on.
Absolutely. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli and Bi-Mart, where it's Lucky Number Tuesday.
Yes, sirree, Bob. All right, Hunter, after we're done here, I am walking off the job. I've had it.
I'm walking
off the job.
You're just calling it a day and walking off.
Calling it a day.
Yeah, okay.
And I guess I'm going to be in good company because thousands of anti-Trump protesters are doing the same.
Groupthink. You can be part of the groupthink. You're finally involved.
I'm one of 40,000 people who have RSVP'd to participate in a 2 p.m. Free America protest. This is according to Axios.
Wait. Hold on. Is that 2 p.m. Western time or 2 p.m. Eastern time? Because you might have missed it.
Oh, no.
You need to figure out your time zone real quick because it might have been an hour and 46 minutes ago.
Did I miss it? I had my signs. Torch fascism.
They
I had my signs.
They emailed it to you to print out and everything, huh?
Yes. Dang nabbit. Well, and then after everybody's protesting, they're going to go to Target because apparently now the big new thing is to go to Target and to buy salt and then to return it in order to protest ICE. I'm so down for that, too. Make me feel like I'm really doing something.
What does salt have to do with ICE? I would think, why not go buy a block of ice and return it once it's melted?
No. Well, see, you're not from New England or the Midwest. Salt melts ice. Get it? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wouldn't it be a lot more effective to go out and just buy like a block of ice and let it melt and then bring back a bag of water and say, I need to return this. It was defective.
Yeah. Well, remember when they were buying like the little putty scrapers that they thought were ice scrapers and they were going to Home Depot? Obviously, these people are not the brightest bulbs in the socket there. I'm sorry. These people are just freaking dumb. This is just stupid. And there's a video and they're all like, yeah, we're out here. We're in Target. And here it is. Look at us.
Well, I just sit here and go,
we're protesting.
So your time is so useless that you are going to go buy salt to return salt. I mean, that's literally what you're saying, is that your time is so worthless, that's what you choose to do with it.
Well, I'm looking at the demographic in here, and it's decidedly skewing a little older, so I think they're probably all retired, and they don't have much of anything else to do. Oh, there's a young one. So, you know, that's not a way to go through life, sort of fat, dumb, and stupid, but okay. And they think, yeah, and a lot of the, you know, what the hell is wrong with these people? Do they not have anything? Do they not have grandchildren? Go spend time with the grandbaby and do something productive with your life. Nobody cares about what you're doing here at Target.
Unfortunately, their grandbabies, if they post anything that, you know, might be pro-Trump online, that they might have just cut them off, because that's what these crazies do now, too. Cut off any family member that doesn't agree with them 110%, because groupthink is the only think out there anymore.
Apparently. I mean, this is really just pathetic. And I'm, you know, again, why is Target allowing this? But then again, I guess it's Target. I haven't shopped at Target since Tuckgate. And I actually really wasn't shopping there much before. But remember Tuckgate?
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, you know, somewhere's got to sell those fancy, fancy bathing suits. So speaking of all the crazies, about a half hour before we went on the air, Fox 12 announced that the DOJ has subpoenaed Tim Walz and five others in, you know, getting in the way of ICE activities in Minnesota. And I sit here and go, so the DOJ is doing it. So what, they're bringing them in for questioning? And is anything actually going to occur? Because so far I haven't seen anything at bringing people to question, and no fallout, no anything afterwards. It just kind of dies there.
No, and of course the fact that Don Lemon is still walking around a free man, really, it's like, where was the morning raid to get this clown in there who did that? And even somebody I was watching, I don't watch it, but some clips, because again, Scott Jennings, I love Scott Jennings. He braves the panel on CNN. But there was normally she's really decidedly to the left of the aisle talking about how these protesters are in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They violated the FACE Act. They violated a number of things. You do not have the right to go into private property or a church to do what these people did. And she even said, had they stayed on the sidewalk, they could be as obnoxious as all get out and make everyone hate them, which most people do because these people are ridiculous. But the fact that they went in and terrorized people, this to me is a bright red line. Mm-hmm. These people, all of them need to go to prison.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
Yep. Well, and one of the key organizers posted out on social media thanking everyone from Don Lemon to all of these other leaders that helped organize this thing. And you kind of go, that right there is spitting in the face of consequences. They have spent the last decade being taken care of and catered to and allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. And this is just the next step. And they believe that they're untouchable. And until these people realize that there are consequences for your actions, well, we're going to continue to see this, and it's going to keep ramping up until bad things happen.
And if they don't squash it, I mean, basically, I would have to say Minnesota is a failed state.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a failed state. So at that point, you've got leadership, feckless leadership, criminal leadership. I'm hoping that Jacob Fry is on that list, the mayor of Minneapolis, that feckless toad who needs to be on there. And they're letting that. I still remember what was it, Walz's wife? Mm-hmm. I just opened up the window and loved the smell of tires burning. It's like these people are evil, and they have no place, and all of the fraud. And again, so many people are sort of speculating that a lot of this that's going on is a way to sort of don't look over at all the fraud that Nick Shirley, the reason he broke it, and we can't really dig into it. I've got a great article if anybody's interested. Nick Shirley was outside of the system that allowed all this to happen, which is why it broke wide open with him, because he was on the outside and he came in, because the system is designed to keep to self sustain itself. And so nobody on the inside is going to break out of the system. Nick Shirley was the one to do that. And that's why they hate him and they're after him. But all of this stuff, and again, with the consequences, and I see a lot of cynicism. Frankly, I'm cynical.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been subpoenaed. Hey, until I start seeing arrests, I'm kind of like, don't care.
Well, they've...
I don't want to see your strongly worded tweets anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you look that the Clintons have been subpoenaed to testify in front of Congress. No. They've said no thank you. And have there been a warrant or anything to compel them to do that or hold them accountable for not being willing to follow a subpoena? No, of course not. And I think that's the underlying challenge I have with all of this. I've watched way too many hours of testimony in front of Congress from everyone from... you know, Fauci to these doctors that don't know that men can't get pregnant. And I'm sitting here going, at what point do you hold someone accountable? I mean, sir, you know, you're talking about, you know, they're swearing these people under oath to tell the truth. And when a doctor can't even admit that men can't get pregnant, when do you hold someone like that accountable? Because she shouldn't have a doctorate. She should not be seeing a patient. She should not have any influence over anyone if you can't even admit that having a penis means you can't have a baby.
Right. Right? and you know, most normal. And everybody, they know they're lying. She knows the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying it anyway because she's got this narrative that she has to live by. She's got intersectionality. She can't step outside of that. So what's the point of even having that woman there?
Well, it goes into everything else. It is groupthink. It is, you know, in your heart, as a medical professional, you know the truth. I wish they had followed up with the simple question of, so how many times have you seen a male patient and had a pregnancy test done on them? Because that's where you'd really catch her. Because if she's actually wasting resources on giving pregnancy tests to men, well, then that could be considered a fraudulent, you know, charge to an insurance company or someone's, you know, health insurance. But I'm kind of going, that alone right there disqualifies you from any kind of anything.
Well, you have to think about somebody who's in there who's, you know, quote, identifies as a woman, goes in and you see clear signs of prostate cancer. Do you test them for prostate cancer, or does that fly in the face of the way they identify?
Mm-hmm.
This is just a slippery, slippery, slippery slope. And it doesn't belong in healthcare. Well, it doesn't belong anywhere, because it's not, none of it's all just insanity.
And all this is coming from the party that 4 or 5 years ago was telling us to trust the science. Trust the science. Trust the science.
Wasn't it Josh Hawley who threw that woman's, mm-hmm. You're just saying that it should be about the science. And these are also the people that are demanding that we have a woman president when they can't define what a woman is. I don't take them seriously at all, but they are dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I found this interesting quote today, because I think this is a lot of, we really need to kind of get serious about everything that's going on and talking about consequences. Quote, the sad reality is that Republicans are nowhere near as committed to saving America as the Democrats are to destroying America. That is a very true statement. Republicans, many conservatives, just, I want to be left alone. I want to live my life. I want to go about my business. I want to raise my family. I want to do my job. Typically in conflicts like that, that side loses because the other side is much more committed. They are hell-bent on destroying everything to build it in some weird dystopian thing that they have in mind. And I think we really need to get serious about this. Either we are going to step up and fight fire with fire, or quietly roll over and be comfortable as everything is just steamrolled over.
Well, and you know, if there's nothing else somebody can do, the first job is come out in your primary in May in Oregon and mm-hmm. vote for the one of the 4, 5, 6, 19 candidates for Republican governor that you know you want to support, and it will whittle down to one at that point, and then they will face off with the Democrat nominee in November.
And that is the time you didn't get your guy. I can't tell you how many primaries my candidate did not win.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of them my candidate did not win. Once that's over, great, lick your wounds, have an adult beverage, but you get behind, especially in Oregon, you got to get behind whoever that Republican candidate is, even if it's an 80-20 or a 70-30 or whatever, or even if you got to hold your nose,
mm-hmm.
do it anyway. There is way too much at stake to let the Democrats continue to maintain control.
Yeah, we can't have voter empathy. Like we said, get out in May, vote, because guess what? That's the local elections. That's when it means the most here locally. And if we can't change things at the local level, it's going to be tougher to change things at the national level. So we're going to see how many more people join up. And then, of course, how the media is going to present that to us, because I think it's going to be interesting, because it's going to be Kotek against however many number, you know, of Republicans file. When it comes to the primaries.
Right. And as of today, it's officially 4.
We might see more before the end of the week.
We definitely will. We definitely will. So definitely keep checking on that. All right, everybody. That is it for us today. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.